So all of our speakers are going to state if they've got a conflict of interest as before they begin their presentation. So that's it. Now, we all know that alcohol and drug use reduce our inhibitions and also increase engagement in high-risk behaviors, which often can lead to HIV. The literature has shown us that when evidence-based interventions are used, they can indeed be effective in reducing risky behaviors. And of course, relatedly, there is the question of sustainability and boosters. You know, once you've done the intervention, then what? So today we're going to hear four studies, and actually the last two are going to be combined. They're going to be discussing their particular take on how they're approaching this problem. So the first presenter is going to be Ms. Amarachi Umez Eronini. And she is a senior biostatistician with the TIMI study group, which is located in Brigham and Women's Hospital here in Boston. And she's working primarily in clinical trials for cardiovascular studies and research. Welcome.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Amarachi Umez Eronini, and I was primarily the biostatistician on this research with Dr. Angela Wangari-Walter. She's a lead author on this research. And on behalf of her, she's asked me to present this as she has a time conflict, so I'm honored to do it. Bear with me. I probably know more information about the data than the health policy aspect of things, but please bear with me. So the title is Alcohol Use and HIV-Related Behaviors, Results from a Nationally Representative Sample of Women. I do not have any conflict of interest regarding this presentation. Dr. Angela Wangari-Walter is from the Heller School of Social Policy and Management at Brandeis University. And this research was funded by the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. It was an institutional training grant. Okay, so during this presentation, I'll start off by going through a little bit of background, lit review, and then research methods, results, strengths and limitations, and then some research and practice and policy implications. Okay, so HIV is both a national and global public health crisis. In recent years, the HIV/AIDS epidemic continues to increasingly and disproportionately affect racial and ethnic minority groups, especially women in the United States. So the first graph I'm going to show you is of the percentages of AIDS cases among adults and adolescents by race and year of diagnosis in the U.S., as well as other dependent areas between the years of 1985 and 2007. So what we can see from this graph is when we start in 1985, we see a higher percentage of AIDS cases among adolescent adults among the white non-Hispanic race. As we get to 1995, we're starting to see a steady increase, quite a jump among blacks and African Americans. There's a kind of a steady increase among Hispanics and Latinos. But by 2007, we're seeing a very high percentage among black or African American race ethnicity. So this burden of disease has shifted in 1985 from being among white men to more racial and ethnic minority groups, especially in women. Here's another graph kind of further showing you the previous graph. Now looking at HIV infections, AIDS diagnosis, among the U.S. female population. And again, here we're seeing for the percentage of black females, there's still a high proportion of women who have HIV infections and AIDS diagnosis compared to white women. Those, again, just like in the previous graph, people of Hispanic race, there is an increase, but it's not quite as high as black African-American women. And the other category is including Asian Pacific Islander, Native Americans, or Alaskan Natives. So just a little bit more background information. So we know HIV knowledge and education has been found to be associated with HIV precautionary behaviors. Approximately 1 in 5 of those infected are unaware of their HIV status. So individuals who are aware of their HIV status are less likely to engage in HIV risky behaviors. Also, alcohol use is an important predictor of engagement in HIV risk behavior. So related to this research topic, we have three questions or aims that we'd like to find the answer to. The first one being, is there an association between level of alcohol use and HIV testing? How do micro-level characteristics influence the association between alcohol use and HIV testing? How do macro-level characteristics influence the association between alcohol use and HIV testing? And so from those three research questions, we can structure our research around the social ecological theoretical framework. And this framework basically provides an important lens for us to examine individual, interpersonal, communal, structural, and societal level factors that contribute to this disproportionate burden of HIV/AIDS among women. And the social ecological theory recognizes that individual factors affect health behaviors, and health behaviors both shape and is shaped by macro level factors. So using this framework, we were able to identify measurable constructs at the macro and micro level that can span multiple levels as well as influence health behavior. So following this structure, we're able to determine predictors at all these levels that can affect health behavior. And so, for example, HIV risk and protective factors that contribute to HIV/AIDS epidemic that come from this framework would be micro-level determinants such as individual characteristics and health behaviors. And then at a macro level, there would be interpersonal interactions, organizational factors, and then the community environment. So to get into the numbers a little bit, and not to kind of be too complex with it. The data came from the 2009 National Health Interview Survey using a multi-stage probability sampling design. So our analysis sample eventually came down to randomly selected adult females 18 years or older, and the data allowed us to oversample racial and ethnic minority population groups. For statistical analysis, we reported estimates of individual, interpersonal, and organizational, community and society level characteristics. We did this at univariate level, bivariate level, as well as multivariate analyses. In addition, because this was a national sample, we did have some missing data issues. So one of the things we did do was compare our original data to some imputed data analysis. And the idea is that if you have missing data, you want to kind of see if the missingness is completely at random or if there's something that's driving that. So I'll discuss later kind of the results of this imputed analysis versus just using the raw data. But in essence, MCAR stands for missing completely at random. And so if you compare those who have complete data to those who have missing data, if the differences between these patient characteristics if there are no differences are found, then you can say that it's okay to use your raw data. There's no need to impute or use any imputation techniques. In addition to some of the analysis we ran, we also tested for interactions between alcohol use and some of the micro level characteristics, as well as the macro level characteristics. So regarding our analytical variables, our dependent variable was, have you ever tested for HIV? This was a dichotomous variable, yes or no. It's a self-reported measure. And our primary covariate of interest was level of alcohol use, which was collected as a three-categorical variable, heavy meaning five or more drinks, moderate, less than five, and then none. These are women who have not ever used alcohol or ever drank before. And the independent variables, although they're not listed in full here, they constituted from our structural model, which included individual, interpersonal, organizational, and community level factors. So to give a few sample characteristics, I'm not going to report all of them, but some of the ones that stood out. The mean age of study participants was 49 years of age. We had a large proportion of participants who identified as white, that's 74%, compared to black or African American ethnicity, 18%. We have Asian at 6%, and then individuals of other race at 3%. More than half the women, about 59%, had completed some college or were college graduates. Very low proportion of women reported not having health insurance. And participants were fairly distributed across geographic regions, with most participants coming from the southern region compared to West, Midwest, and Northeast. So to present, I guess, the more interesting findings, these are the multivariate results. And right now we're just showing you our primary covariates of interest. In this model, we're looking at the association of level of alcohol use and HIV testing, controlling for the other micro and macro level factors. And one of the first things that we're able to see here from these adjusted models is that level of alcohol use is significantly associated with testing for HIV. And what that basically is saying from these odds ratios is that those who were heavy drinkers were less likely to report ever testing for HIV compared to women who have never used alcohol. And this was also true for moderate or heavy drinkers, moderate drinkers. We also, in testing interaction, one of them was age. So we found out that the relationship between a level of alcohol use and having tested for HIV does depend on age. And when you take age into account, it turns out that the older you are, and the more you drink, the more likely you are to report having tested for HIV. So it's really the younger women who are heavy to moderate drinkers who are less likely to report having tested for HIV. Another relationship that we observed was between level of alcohol use and race. And the only significant finding from the interaction between alcohol level and race was among moderate alcohol use in African American women. And in this relationship, we see a twofold increase in odds of having tested for HIV among African American women who are moderate alcohol users. The other interaction, the other comparisons were not significant, although we do see almost a fourfold fourfold increase in odds for women of Asian ethnicity. So there were other interactions that we tested. Of those, they also included income, marital status, as well as region, and those were not significant. And as you can see in the columns, I've kind of put next to it the imputed sample. The interactions were not significant here for the imputed samples, but in the previous slides, the odds ratio and direction of association remained consistent, which is also consistent with our findings where we initially compared those with complete data and those with missing data. Since the results were similar, we were confident that using the original data without any imputation was fine for the analyses. So just to summarize, our main findings, heavy drinkers and moderate drinkers are less likely to report ever testing for HIV. We found significant interactions between age and heavy drinking and age and moderate drinking. So that is the older you are, and those who are heavy alcohol users or those who are moderate alcohol users tend to have a higher odds of reporting, self-reporting, having tested for HIV. And there were also significant interaction between race and moderate drinking among African-American women. Is there a way to go back to previous? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just to go over the strengths and limitations, as you kept hearing me say, self-reported. That's one of the main limitations of the data. We have self-reported status, whether or not the female has ever reported testing for HIV, and that also creates recall bias. Given that this is cross-sectional data, the time order cannot be established. And also, we had the structural model framework to use, but not all of the variables available within this 2009 sample can be used. So there are some variables of interest that we weren't allowed to use that we felt may be better measures or constructs for health behaviors. But in terms of strengths, this does add to the limited literature we have on the association between alcohol use and HIV-related behaviors among women. We also were able to use a nationally representative sample, quantitative sample. And then, again, this research is grounded on the theoretical framework. So it provides kind of a strong foundation going forward into determining what predictors and what factors you should use to help predict health behaviors. And then to add to implications and future research, just part of the strengths because of doing this, these analyses, findings does add to the limited research we do have on the association between alcohol use and HIV testing among women at national level. But it also highlights the importance of HIV testing practices, particularly among high-risk populations. We did see initially from that first graph this jump, this complete shift in burden of new cases of HIV that have been reported. And so when we have this new shift, we need to start thinking about ways to kind of target more high-risk populations. We need comprehensive HIV prevention efforts that target alcohol-using women, as the results have shown that heavy drinkers are less likely to report having tested for HIV. And then just also improve the surveillance to address HIV risk and protective behaviors at a national level. And then one of the limitations given is cross-sectional data. Well, if we have more event level and using more longitudinal analysis, we can further kind of see what these health behaviors and how they impact findings over time. But now we can just go based on self-reported data. So we cannot overstretch our interpretations of the results. For more information, I'll be glad if you contact me, but please contact Angela Wangari-Walter. She's at Brandeis University. And feel free to send her an email or give us a call if you have any more questions regarding the analysis. And thank you so much for your patience and time. This concludes the end of the presentation.